Okay, we're carrying on in our series in Colossians. So if you have a Bible, you want to turn to Colossians. Please do. Just want to keep encouraging you to read through this letter. It will take you possibly 20 minutes of your life. It's four chapters. We're going to be looking at it the next few weeks. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, Bukumni preached on this. I preached prior to that. And as you read it, I want to encourage you, if you have questions, if you're reading this and you think, oh, what does that mean? Or, oh, I hadn't considered that, or whatever. Then I love questions, by the way. I love it. A few months ago now, actually, I was sitting down with Arthie in Feast, and he just pulled out a couple of questions out of his pocket. You know, not out of his pocket, but he just started asking me questions. I'm like, goodness, these are good questions. Where did these come from? I like this. You know, I like challenging questions. So if you do have a question, then ask. Then it's no harm in asking. So we're going to be looking at chapter 1, starting at verse 25. And if I'm honest, if this first verse doesn't throw up some questions, then you're not reading it properly, if I'm honest. So anyway, I'm going to read this from chapter 1, from verse 25. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness.
We're not reading the same thing, sorry. Colossians 24.
Wow. Well, at least people are listening. Okay, welcome to the King's Church. My name's Richard, I'm the pastor here.
It's a good job Shari encouraged you before.
Yeah, it's a good job Shari encouraged me, because otherwise I'd just be dying now. Shari, do you want to say that again? Or maybe you've changed your mind. I don't know. Okay. Right. 1 Corinthians. No, Colossians. You're listening. Colossians, chapter 1, from verse 24.
Right.
Yeah?
Okay, go. Now I rejoice in what I am. Is that where you're coming from?
Yes, that's where I'm coming from. Thanks, sister. I'm going to read this to Wendy. We're on the same page. Right. Now, I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you, and for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by foul-sounding arguments, for though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith is. In Christ is. Okay. We got there. So, this is Paul writing, and I think as you read this, you just get a sense of how he's pouring out his soul. He's explaining what he's doing and why he's doing it. And as you read it, as I was reading it this week, you just pick up this heart the soul, the blood, sweat and tears that Paul puts into his work, his commitment, his devotion, his dedication to the ministry of God. This is what Paul lives for. It's not always what he lived for. You know, if you know the story of Paul, he actually was persecuting the church. And he basically wanted to destroy it. And then Jesus gets a hold of him and he has that revelation. And then his life changes. I think if there's any evidence for the resurrection and the power of Jesus, it is Paul's life. There's somebody who wanted to kill everybody who was in the church. And then Jesus kind of taps him on the shoulder and says, "Oi, what do you think you're doing?" kind of thing. And his life, that's not exactly their scriptures to say that, all right? But basically, that's my paraphrase. And his life has turned around. And rather than just sort of being a sort of somebody who sits on the pew at church and kind of listens to the apostles, he then, his life is devoted to preaching and encouraging people in Christ. He says he's a servant by the commission of God to present to the Colossians the word of God in its fullness. That's his job. That's what he lives for. That's what he's left everything behind to do, to present the word of God in fullness. Not leaving anything out, but painting the whole picture. He's been given the task of declaring the mystery that has been hidden but is now revealed. And he says, it's this, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, he is the one we proclaim. So basically, Paul's mission now is Jesus and Jesus only. To declare Christ alone. We have a song about that, don't we? Christ alone. God's word in its fullness is the mystery of God now revealed, and the culmination of that is Christ. He's the one we proclaim. Nothing else, no one else. So this phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Maybe as you read that, you might have thought, well, that's an interesting phrase. Makes a good fridge magnet or a bumper sticker. Do we still have bumper stickers?
No.
No. I must be still in my Songs of Fellowship book one mode where everything from the 90s is kind of like bumper stickers. Memes. We have memes now. We share them on Facebook and Instagram. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sounds good, doesn't it? What on earth does that mean? I think it sounds good. It is great and it's a great truth, but it's a bit mysterious, don't you think? I do anyway when I read that thing. I'm not quite sure what I mean. That means. I think it's something to do with Paul saying he's proclaiming that Christ is, remember, he's speaking to church. He's not just speaking to Brian in Colossae. He's not just saying this to one person. He's saying it to everybody. He's saying Christ is in you. I think that means Christ is amongst you. He's actually here with you. His presence is. He's not just a concept or a sort of a new philosophy or a new religious idea, but he is actually present among you. And he's living and active amongst you. And he's doing stuff. And there'll be evidence of that. You will see it. You will know it. It's not like, yeah, well, here's some things and there's a wishful thinking and maybe one day this will happen. There's going to be evidence amongst you. He's amongst you. The hope of glory is going to have a tangible, discernible evidence amongst you. He is here. That glorious hope. The hope that we have is the resurrection ultimately. But we hope in his resurrection. And his resurrection has power. He has defeated sin. He has defeated death. And that will have an impact among you, he's saying to the Colossian church. It will change you. It will transform you. You will be different. You will be different. So amongst the church, where Christ is, you will find people that are strangely joyful, even sometimes in the midst of adversity. You'll find people that find healing, both physical, emotional, mental healing. There'll be people that will have found freedom. There'll be people that will have a transformation and a renewal in their lives. There'll be people that are just full of love and you just can't get away from it. And sometimes it's so loving, it's just irritating. It's like, leave, just stop loving me. A lot of people actually don't love themselves. And so they, when they come to church, they can't cope because it's like, there's just too much love here. I'm not used to this. This is Christ amongst you, the hope of glory. There'll be grace. There'll be forgiveness. What? You forgiving me? No, no, no. I need to pay for this. No, no, we do grace here. We do grace here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim. This reminded me, I was just thinking on this morning, and every Friday, it's so funny, every Friday we rearrange the chairs and we have them set up differently for food bank because we have our food bank here. And then afterwards, the volunteers are brilliant. We have an amazing team. Let's give thanks to God for our food bank team, of which Reg is a key part, but we have a number. There are, it's not just me and Reg. There are a number of other people, and they're a great team. And every week, nearly every week without fail, they'll say, would you like to help me to help you put the chairs back? And perfectionist me says, no, get off my chairs. I like them the way I like them. So sometimes I graciously kind of like people help. And it just, but the reason why I'm saying that, and I haven't done this for a while, and I need to get back into the habit of it, but when I was putting the chairs out, I'd be praying for people that sit on these chairs. And my prayer would be that each of these chairs would be filled with people who display the glory of God. And what I mean by that is not that you're necessarily going to be shining so that I've got to wear sunglasses on a Sunday morning, okay? You know, great though that may be. And actually, there are accounts of saints where that has happened, where their face has shone. So let's, okay, if you want to aim for that, good. I'll bring my shades next week and we'll check it out. But the kind of thing where there's a glory of God because somebody's been healed. Maybe it was a while ago. It doesn't have to have been this week, every week. But we can remember that God has worked here. Or somebody has had a transformation in their life. They were like this. I once was lost, but now I'm found. That kind of thing. The list could go on. You know, that there was somebody who was just so angry, and now they just keep smiling at you. And you just think, this is weird. This is bizarre. But that's who we are to be, because Christ is amongst us. The hope of glory is here, and there should be evidence of that. And so, remind me, and maybe you can pray the same thing, that these chairs, and particularly, I actually was more praying for the empty chairs, you know, the spaces in it amongst us. Because I think we all have a glorious testimony, but let's pray there's more glory amongst us, but also that these chairs will be filled with folk that encounter Christ and start to know the hope of glory in them. Anyway, so maybe this is, I'll carry on. Paul says he strenuously contends for this. He suffers for it. At the end of the letter, in chapter 4, I think it is, we find out he's in chains for it. He's been locked up for it. It's amazing. I mean, the testimony of the church in Iran is the same. You can lock people, you can lock the ministers of the gospel up, but somehow it just leaks out through the bars. In fact, actually, that's the worst thing you can do if you want to stop Christianity, is lock it up. Because it just seems that when there's persecution, as it was here, and as we know now, brothers and sisters in Iran and China and many other places in the world, it just keeps going. Ah, maybe this is Christ in this. It's more than just the person who's talking. There's Christ in this. The hope of glory just keeps going. And so he struggles for it. Paul's struggling for it. And he's struggling to proclaim Christ exclusively. Christ alone. Because it's easy to be distracted. It's easy to get knocked down. It's easy to be discouraged. So we need encouragement. It's easy to get distracted. It's and maybe there's a pressure for somebody like me to say to people what they want to hear. Notice in the things he says, we admonish you. That's kind of, there is a bit of a, there's, it's not just all just telling people what admonish means to, what's a good description of admonish? Correct. So it's, yeah, it's not necessarily comfortable if I'm admonishing you. Maybe, yeah. No, I won't do it now. Later. Later, Joe. We'll leave it to later. You know, there's pressures to follow the trends of the culture. The church at the moment is engaged. There's a culture war going on at the moment. And the Church of England in particular, it's in the news. and I'm so sure some of you follow this, is like, do we follow the way the culture is, or do we and do we enter into dialogue with that? Do we say, this is what God said, and that's that? That's hard. It's hard stuff sometimes. There's pressures, there's forces and people that stand against the proclamation of Christ. So we must remember always, as Paul's saying here, he is the one we contend for. He is the one we proclaim. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one that we find if we declare the fullness of God's word, the fullness of it. The difficult bits as well as the bits that we go, yes, that's great. Remember, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the church. He's the head of the church. Not the pastor. I like Keith sometimes, you would refer to the pastor as the under-shepherd. So I like that phrase. You know, I have a job. I do have a shepherding job. But at the end of the day, I'm just working for him. Until I met Keith, I'd never come across that word. Mind you, there's plenty of words I'd never come across until I met Keith. But that's just one of them. Yeah. So pray for me that I may declare the mystery of Christ. I think that this helps me to know who I am as a preacher and to know what any preacher is about. And pray for us as a church, that I think this helps us to know what we need to be about as a church always, that our focus and our will be always on the proclamation of Christ. So Paul says that we will become fully mature in him. Fully mature in him. And it will take some effort. Let's contend for the sake of the church, for the one that we proclaim. Because there will be people there, they'll have different ideas what church should be about. They're usually people from outside the church. Oh, the church should be doing this. Oh, really? Thanks for telling me. I think we'll just stick with being the church, if that's all right with you. There'll be people that have different ideas of what the pastor should do and say. But let's just stick with, first and foremost, proclaiming Christ. And my mentor used to say, our job is to just bring people closer to God. Draw people closer to him. That's continually what the shepherd's job is. Let Christ be our message, our focus, our priority. Paul contends so passionate for it. And I mean, he ended up losing his life for it. So let's never lose sight of that and lose sight of the goal for which he made that effort. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So I just want to encourage you, you know, every time we stand together, we have our coffee or our cake or biscuits or whatever it is we have at the back. Let us know Christ amongst us, the hope of glory. It will transform your conversation. You won't just be talking about the weather. You know, we've always said that that's still part of church when we have our tea and coffee, our fellowship, if we want to use the churchy word. But let us know Christ amongst us as we do that. When we sing our songs and we pray together, let us know that we don't just sing or speak to ourselves. We do encourage one another as we sing and speak, but also we're singing and praying to Christ who is amongst us. He hears our prayers. He hears our songs. He is our hope of glory. When you hear the word of God, when you hear a preacher like me or somebody else, as we had Bukumi the other week and others have preached, we just don't want to have we don't want to just have an entertaining guy at the front. I'm sure I am very entertaining. I'm sure I'm very funny, and you love that. No, don't. Yeah, some of you are asleep, and some of you aren't laughing. So I won't take that personally. Actually, what we want, we don't want a spiritual pep talk. Okay, I'm not here to give a spiritual pep talk. My desire is that we know Christ, and we know him, the hope of glory in us. When we share communion, as we're going to do in a minute, let it not just be a pattern or a ritual that we follow, but let us know Christ in us, literally Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when we do outreach through CAP, as we pray for Daniel and his befrienders, through our feast meal, through the food bank and all the different things, let it not just be a social service. If you go to a CAP conference, you come away thinking, not quite sure this is all about money, actually. We're not debt advisors that are Christians. We're evangelists, basically. I can't remember exactly how they put it, but they were evangelists. who tell people about Christ and help, and then also help them with their money. That's kind of the order in which they do. That's why we really love CAP. You know, it's not just about the money. It's the whole thing. So let's contend that Christ may be known through CAP and through our feast and through Food Bank, the hope of glory. And even as we go out from here, let us know that Christ is in us. The hope of glory is in us. We are different people. We're different people now. Paul was different. Do you remember him? Church killer. Now a different person. Maybe not quite so dramatic for some of us. But we're different people. So contend for that Christ would really be amongst us. And there'll be evidence of that. So our aim, and I'm just going to finish with what Paul says here. My goal, tying in now with, we're just coming back to where Shari started. Shari started this message, by the way. I can just see this now. My goal is that they may be encouraged. Yes, let's be encouraged by this. In heart and united in love. So that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, brothers and sisters, may you be encouraged in heart. Amen. And may you be united in love. Amen. Through Christ. Pray for me, pray for us, pray for these empty chairs. I'm still a bit like, we bought 100 chairs before I got here. Love to see a few more of them filled. Not because I want to build a church, that's not the point. I'd love to see people come and know Christ. And so that's why they're in the chairs, no other reason. I think that'll do for today. Let's pray. I'm going to hand over. Daniel's going to lead us in communion. Lord, we sing a song sometimes, open the eyes of our heart, Lord. We want to see you. We pray that now, that our eyes would be open to Christ and Christ alone, that you would be our focus, our attention, that the glory of your name would be our desire and our heartbeat, that we would know that you are amongst us and that you are alive and living and active by your Spirit. And the hope of glory dwells amongst us, and the fruit of that would just start spilling out more and more. Lord, we thank you that we don't have a dead religion or a bunch of old traditions that just are traditions, but we have a living hope, a glorious hope in Christ amongst us. More and more we pray, let it be evident to us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.